from WBRI 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
So Zender.
Yeah.
Is it true?
No.
You know, since we have Indianapolis listeners, is it true that in your family line you're related to Archie Manning?
I am.
And thus directly related to Peyton
yes.
Manning?
Yes. Hi, Peyton. If you're out there, your long-lost relative Martin Zender is here. Yeah, my uncle's wife's daughter married Archie's wife, something like that. It goes way back, but... My uncle down in Pass Christian, Mississippi,
yeah.
He's been, like, he gets invited to Archie's parties down
yeah.
there, and he's involved with the family. Pictures of Peyton on his refrigerator. I mean, not clipped out of Sports Illustrated, actual
yeah,
photos that
right.
he took with, it,
so
with
Peyton,
his camera.
So, Peyton, if you're listening, Martin Zender would like you to come to the studio and challenge you.
What?
To
what?
A football throwing contest.
Shut up.
We got targets set up.
You're one of the targets.
And
you're one of the targets.
So if you do that, we'd like to see you here at the studio here at WBRI. Give us a call. Let us know.
And if anyone listening knows Peyton Manning, pass along this challenge to him. I think Peyton's a Christian. And so why wouldn't he be, you know, scanning the dial on his way to work and pick up...
well, there you go.
What's the call letters? I mean, we're WBRI, but at 1500.
Yeah.
On your AM dial.
Well, good.
Yeah, so there you have it.
And no offense, but we only worship one celebrity.
Which is who?
Our Lord Jesus.
Our Lord Jesus
yeah,
Christ.
He's our celebrity.
Did you know that free will, if you take it to its conclusion, says that not even God can influence you? Think about that. Because influence, now listen, I looked up the word free one time.
Yeah.
And it's to be without influence, free, there's no influence on you. Free, no influence. And as we spoke about Billy Graham, he tends to agree with that, saying you can't influence these people. I got this question to ask. If Billy Graham would call back, I'd say, why even pray for God not to influence him if he doesn't anyway? If God leaves every man to his own sovereign little world to choose, why pray?
Good
that
question.
Don't pray for these people. Don't, because if you pray for him, God might give him a nudge. God can't even give you a nudge to go towards the cliff of belief.
Yeah.
He can't even nudge you, because if he does, he's invaded your world, and you're no longer free. We contend that we're not free. We mm-hmm. do have wills, but they're all influenced by God. We're influenced by our parents. We're influenced by what we ate for breakfast, especially you seem to be particularly influenced today by what you ate for breakfast. I won't say anything else about it, but we're influenced by our nationality. All these things weigh on us, and we will only choose that which we have been, this sounds bad, pre-programmed to choose. Oh, Martin, we're not robots. We're
no.
not robots.
No, we're clay vessels.
Yeah, you're giving yourself too much credit to say you're a robot. I get that all the time. You mean we're
yeah.
just... robots. No, let's go to the scriptural analogy of what God is to me. Wouldn't you think that would be an important thing God would let us in on? What's the most important thing to know? What is God's relationship to man? What is it? Such a simple question. Would God have left such a simple question unanswered?
No.
No. Romans 9,
yep.
He's the potter.
That's right. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Of course he is.
And you know how literal that is?
Yeah.
We are made of clay. We are made
yeah.
of the elements of the soil.
Yeah.
And so what an appropriate analogy. We have an analogy.
Notice, he forms the vessels. He formed the vessels to honor and the vessels to dishonor.
Yeah. And we're of the same. Yeah, that's right. We're of the
he
same.
Doesn't.
And if you, in Jeremiah, when he, God has Jeremiah go down to the potter's house.
And it's all for, yeah, it's all for a purpose, though. You need a Pharaoh to display grace to Israel. You need an Esau to display grace to Jacob. The vessels are formed for the purpose of God displaying his purposes.
Are you saying that God hardens whom he will harden?
He hardens whom he will harden, but this has nothing to do with the eternal destiny of these
that
folks.
That would be Calvinism, folks.
That's Calvinism.
And, yeah.
Romans 9, and even with Esau was not an unsaved man, as Christendom would put it. This had nothing to do with Esau's eternal destiny. This whole thing of God choosing Esau choosing Jacob over Esau has nothing to do with their destiny. It has to do with choosing them for a role that they were to play in God's purposes. It had nothing to do with their final destiny.
Wait, it sounds like you're saying God chooses them as if he looks for the hard person and he chooses them. We should bring that up with Saul, too. Who was it that made Saul hard in the first place?
Listen, you know, God, this I've heard so many people try to undo everything God says.
Yeah, I know.
The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. You can't undo it. If you read, here's a challenge to everyone who reads Exodus chapter 7 through 11. You're going to see this phrase constantly. The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart just as he said. God is in absolute control of everything that goes on in Exodus 7 through 11. God is never taken by surprise. He never vacates his throne. He's never wondering what his next move is. Everything goes just as scheduled. You know, you and I, when we fly to different places for our speaking engagements, we sometimes get hooked. You know, the flights are delayed, but the good old airline Zion or the good old airline, you know, God's airline, always arrives on time. Doesn't matter what weather, it always takes off and lands exactly when and where it wants to. And there are no waiting lines, there are no flight delays because of weather. God always does what he says, and he says what he means, he does what he says, and this is what makes God God. What would you rather have, Mr. Zender?
Yeah, go ahead.
What would you rather have? Would you rather have all these things that happen, all the bad, the good, and the evil things be by chance just because they happen? Or would you rather have a God who is controlled and operating every little event, knowing that these things do have a purpose? As bad as things may happen and seem, I got back pain. You know, for those of you who know, I had all these trials a couple weeks ago. I didn't like them particularly. As a matter of fact, I didn't like them at all. But the comfort is these aren't just random events in an uncontrolled universe.
I was just going to mention that word comfort. Why be insulted by this? Oh, I'm only a clay vessel. Rejoice in it. Because when your flight doesn't land on time, when something goes wrong in your life, Dan's right. I would much rather know, as hard as it is to know that God's behind everything, it's much harder to think that these events are random, that there's no purpose in them, that the world's in chaos. That's a terrible doctrine.
No, nothing's in chaos. A mess.
But you have to pick one or the other.
That's
either
right.
The world's in chaos or God is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will.
Let's bring it to today. People are always worried about the economy, whether you like the president or not. Oh, look at the economy.
I don't like the president personally.
I mean, personally, I have no problem. I don't like his policy. That's the difference. That the point being is, this is not a mess. The economy's in a tank. This is not a mess.
No.
We look at it as a mess. It nothing is a mess. Nothing is outside of God's
intention?
You asked me, is God a micromanager?
Is God a micromanager?
God is a micromanager.
Yes, he is.
God caused a famine in order to save Israel.
But a famine is evil. God would never do anything evil.
Yes, he would. He does it all the time.
He doesn't sin,
but he creates evil.
You better back yourself up with a scripture verse there, fella.
Isaiah 45:7, I, the Lord, create evil.
What is evil?
Have not I, the Lord, done this?
What is evil?
All kinds of calamities, you name it.
The literal, I think the Hebrew is shabar, S-H-A-B-A-R.
Yeah.
I know that's what the Hebrew word is.
Yeah,
it means to break.
To break.
To break. There's no moral bias with the word evil.
Right.
I'll give you an example. A person can break glass, and it could be evil. Breaking glass is evil, it's to break. Now, one person can break glass to call the fire department. And
right.
One person can break glass to rob the jewelry store.
Yeah.
It's the same action. Both people are performing an evil, but
yes.
One is morally wrong, one is not.
Yes.
The moral tinge is not on the word evil itself. There's no moral bias on that word whatsoever. It just means to break. Now, God breaks down peoples. He breaks down nations. He broke down you last week. He didn't want you to be here last week. That's just the way he wanted it.
Yeah.
And he broke down Pharaoh. And even the Israelites said, God, why have you brought us into this evil land? Evil can't mean sin, because how can land sin?
No.
It was an evil land in that it was desert. It didn't support vegetation. It was barren and dry. In that sense, it was evil. So when we say God creates evil, he breaks so that he can heal. Evil is not sin. Two separate words, both in the Hebrew and the Greek.
Right.
God never sins by doing evil. We do sometimes. I see you're experiencing evil even now with your back. You
yes.
all right there?
No. That's right.
All right. But why be mad at God at this? Why not use it to comfort yourself? I mean, how many things go, quote, wrong, unquote, in the course of a day? How many things go wrong?
Lots.
Lots
look at the
of
life
things.
Of Job.
It seems
think,
like
think
a,
about this.
It
let's
seems
take
like
Job
chaos.
For a minute.
All right.
Let's take Job.
Let's.
One day Job is out there, and he's got his 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he's thankful to God for them. And the scene shifts to heaven, and here comes Satan. And he stands before God. God says, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?"
God,
who,
please don't mention my
who
name.
Who brought Job up?
God brought him up.
God brought him up.
Don't and bring then, me up, God.
And then what happened to Job? His children were killed, right?
Yeah.
By a wind.
Yeah.
He raised up armies of people to rob Job of all his substance.
Yeah.
And then fire destroyed a bunch of his substance.
Yeah.
All these things were brought into play to destroy Job.
I think his kids were at a wedding feast and the roof collapsed.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Was God responsible for all that?
Yes.
Amen. Now, transfer that to everything in life.
You almost put an adjective in front of thing, didn't you? Everything in life.
No, I was just stuttering like the idiot that I am. But transfer that to your daily life.
I know.
I mean, look at Job. God was behind all that, and he used Satan to bring about an end in Job's life, right? He was blessed twice as much. Without the evil that Job went through, there would not have been the double blessing at the end there. He was blessed twice as much, Job 42 says.
And Job's wife was not impressed by any of this.
And by the way, Job is a picture of the conflict of the ages.
That's the oldest book in the scriptures.
Oldest book in the scriptures, and that is meant to teach us this great lesson of what God is the instigator of everything in Job.
What did Job's wife?
We always want to blame the devil for everything.
Yeah.
Who instigated it?
Yeah, the devil's the intermediary.
God did.
The devil is the intermediary.
Yeah.
That God does use the devil, but you have to go behind the devil and say, who's behind the devil?
God is behind it.
I would hope so. My God, if Satan is sovereign in evil, these are huge questions that you just can't ask at church, but we bring up these big questions.
Yeah.
Is evil sovereign? Is Satan sovereign? Is evil going to trump good in the end? These are gigantic questions. Unless you have these ironed out in your mind, you're not going to sleep at night.
Yeah, Satan is not some creature that is uncontrollable who's escaped prison. And, you know, people treat Satan today like he's an escaped convict.
Yeah.
And God has got his agents out there trying to lasso him up.
Right.
To keep him from wreaking havoc. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
That is exactly not the case. God created this being called Satan, and God created him for a purpose, and it all ends up to his glory
amen.
And to his praise forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen.
Was that a scriptural terminology there you just used at the end?
I threw it out there.
Okay.
This is Dan Sheridan. You can find me at crossandthrone.com.
And if we're still on the air after this program, we're going to be here tomorrow to go into more detail on this comfort that God is in control of everything. This is a comfort, folks, not a curse. See you tomorrow.